Still feeling patriotic around here, right? I mean, it is the nation's capital. July 4th weekend was just this past weekend, right? Little Bruce Springsteen. I know this is a controversial, like, meaning and whatever. I don't get into all that. I mean, this is one of the more patriotic songs, if you will, right? Of all time. You know who Bruce Springsteen is? Hey, Mac?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're looking at me like I had 14 heads.
No, I just didn't know that there was a controversy behind it.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you can look it up. We're not going to waste our time on it. But, yeah, you know, gotcha. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I don't read into everything. I just evaluate things for what I evaluate things for. So during the break, I was looking. So we mentioned there was a slight increase in terms of some of the offensive statistics. 243 batting average to 247 batting average, 309 on base percentage to 314, OBP, 375 slugging to 390 slugging, 2024 to 2025 for the Nationals, just using those three categories. So there is improvement, as well there should be. Again, you didn't have James Wood for half of the year last year, more than half of the year. But pitching-wise, so I just looked this up, Baseball Reference. They had last year a 4.30 ERA staff and a 1.32 whip. This year, a 5.16 ERA and a 1.40 whip. So, again, while they've slightly improved offensively, they've regressed pitching-wise, and that's everybody, and that's guys that are not even on the roster anymore, and certainly not having Josiah Gray, which they knew they weren't going to have, but then losing DJ Hers late in training camp or in spring training, certainly that has hurt. Derek Law, same thing, and he was just transferred to the 60-day IL. I get it. I get it. But not everything can be blamed on one thing. That's why, like, when Davey came out and said, it's nothing to do with coach. No. First of all, Davey, even though you're theoretically right that it's on the players, you can't say that. That would be like, again, if the show sucked, and sometimes it sucks, me going, you know what? I had nothing to do with it. Blame AMAC. Or what Ian said, blame, you know, Odyssey DC. And listen, I mean, we all have things that we want to be better about our own individual situations. I'm not going to lie to you about that. Of course I do. But my job is to do the best job I can and to put on as entertaining and as informative of a radio show and as different of a radio show as I can. I always say, we don't do cookie cutter radio. It's not for everybody. We don't do a lot of guests. We generally pick topics that are a little bit standalone-ish, if you will. Or a little bit out there. A little bit not just, a little bit against the grain. Sometimes that's going to get us in trouble. Sometimes it's not. So the point being is, overall, they didn't deserve to keep their jobs based on the bottom line raw record this year and over the last four and a half. Yeah. But also, we can acknowledge the big picture problem. We can acknowledge that, but also be truthful and say, hey, listen, it's not like they were given 2 years. It's not like they were making a ton of improvement. It's not like, oh, all of a sudden, again, when you watch the Nationals, you watch the Nationals any game, do you ever walk away going, oh, man, that is a surging team. That is a team really heading in the right direction. Maybe for a couple of innings, maybe. But hadn't been a lot over the last month and a half. And you say, well, it's a long baseball season. A lot of things can change. True. They did for the Tigers last year. But the Tigers had Tarik Skubal. The Tigers had a veteran winning manager in A.J. Hinch. They had a pretty good roster around all of those guys. The Nationals don't have that. And that's why the Tigers were able to get off the deck in mid-August and make a run for the playoffs and actually win a playoff series. Anyway, let's get to you on the phones, and then we will hear from Jeff Passan, who broke the news, ESPN Baseball Insider. He had some interesting things to say with my pals Grant and Danny yesterday afternoon over on The Fan that we wanted to bring to your attention in case you haven't heard them yet. But let's get to Mark and Largo on line one there, AMAC, and get Mark aboard here. What up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How are you doing?
Hello, buddy? Mark. What's going on?
Look, here's the deal. You're 100% correct on this. It's not like we gave him a year or 2 years. We all said, you remember that Thursday night massacre, the Thursday night, or either Wednesday or Thursday in July, 4 years ago this month, when he shipped, when Rizzo shipped everybody out of here, and we knew at the end of the year that Soto was going to be gone next year too. But all we kept saying is, you better be sure. That's all we kept saying. Remember, you better be sure. You better be sure. And it's since 22, since the day Juan left till now, it's been a joke. And, you know, you could blame ownership, and that's a convenient way to throw it out there. But I'm sorry. Rizzo has dropped the ball. And then he would have saved himself if he would have just went in a different direction and got rid of Davey last month. I'm serious. He would still have his job. Now, again, like I said yesterday, do I think he would have it next year? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he would still have his job right now. We wouldn't be talking about him. We would have been talking about Davey last month. And I get it. But here's what you can't do. And this is why I was kind of upset the day that Dusty was fired. And everybody was saying, oh, not a big deal. We could be okay. Maybe. But you need what they need next, if you're going to have an inexperienced manager, like let's say they keep this guy, please get a manager that's won some World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's got some experience.
Well, you
got
to pay for that.
Don't get a brand new manager. Yeah. Don't do that. Not with a young group.
Yeah, but you got to pay for that, and they haven't been willing to pay for it.
Fine. I mean, look. Here's the deal. The Verner's got to get people in the seat. Okay, so they're going to have to do something. They're on borrowed time right now if they're not selling the team. See, I'm of the opinion, I still have a funny feeling they may wind up selling the team sometime before the end of this year. I mean, the calendar year, they may sell the team. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong on that. You'll probably have more information than that. But you got to pick. There are a lot of World Series managers who are out there on the bench right now who've won World Series that you can get to come in here. I mean, and like you said, Detroit's doing better. Why? Because you got the guy from Houston who won a World Series in 17. Whether it was controversial or not, I don't care. He won it, in my opinion. And he's taking the team to the World Series like two times before that. Lost to us and lost to the Dodgers. Well, lost to us and lost to another team. So, I mean, the Cubs or somebody like that. But you're going to have to spend money either way. If you're not going to spend money on a GM, you might as well spend money on the manager.
Yeah. Well, you probably got to spend money on, to your point, one or the other. And,
yeah,
I mean, clearly they spent money on Rizzo to keep him, but we don't know exactly how much they were paying Rizzo in relation to other top executives and, you know, how much Rizzo, like, again, sometimes, and this goes back to Ian's call in the first hour, is sometimes – yes, you can leave for greener pastures or what you believe to be greener or better pastures. But, you know, when you have family and when you're comfortable and you like the area and you want to be a normal adult, you don't want to always be a vagabond and on the move, right? And that's okay, too. It's okay to say, you know what, it wasn't a good situation. It wasn't a healthy situation. I tried to do the best I could with it. And what I was given, it didn't work. I feel bad about that. But, you know, I didn't want to keep moving around to every job in the world. I didn't want to keep unpacking the suitcases. And that's okay. That's all right. I didn't understand that early in my life when I was like, wow, right. You know, you just make so much money, you just do it. Well, now I kind of understand it. And maybe that's what kept Rizzo and here as long as he was.
And here's the thing, too, and this is what I think is going to happen. I think the save face, the learners, I think this offseason, they're going to have to spend money. You're going to have to find the top three agents. You're going to have to get, I would say, at least one starting pitcher you can get, fill up the bullpen, maybe a base hitter, something, somebody who could take up the base. But you're going to have to spend money to bring the fans back. You're going to have to do that because if you're going to make this work. The other thing is, too, you know, again, like I said yesterday, yes, they should have been fired. I agree with you. But this is something that they have to also look at it as themselves as ownership to say, you know what? We got a young good crop here. Whoever comes in there, they're going to say the same thing. They're going to say the same thing. We need to spend money if you want this team, if you want this to work. We're not running a Billy Bean operation here. This is not the Oakland A's. This is not Moneyball. Okay? We need to spend money to make this work. You just can't sit up here and say, and if you're not going to spend money, then they're going to keep the guys they have, and then it's going to piss off the fan base.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And the fan base is already disgruntled. And guess what?
They're not,
even if they go, I don't know, 4-2 on this 6-game road trip before the All-Star break, when they come back against the Padres on Friday, July 19th, ain't nobody going to be there. Unless there's a giveaway that night. Yeah, there'd be 20,000 people there. True. The fan base is already disgruntled. They've already killed off a lot of the fan base by having this, whatever you want to call it, this nonchalant attitude towards actually doing what it takes in so many different ways to try and win games and sustainably build a product. I think it's the one reason why Ted gets a lot of benefit of the doubt, at least from a Capitals perspective, is because they're always doing something to try and make them better. And while that's failed on the Wizards' end, that has largely worked on the Capitals' end.
I think the Wizards are on the right track.
I do too. I do too. But the point being is there's perception, there's reality, there's all sorts of things, right? And if the perception is that you just don't care and that you don't care enough, then fans are going to tune that out and figure that out pretty quickly, that's and true. They're going to turn their back against you. It's no longer, hey, pay $4 a ticket and go and sit and watch a doubleheader and 25 cents for popcorn. No. It's not that. Yeah, thank you, Mark. Appreciate you, as always. Good to hear from you. Appreciate you. All right, let's get to Jeff Passan here. He was a guest of Grant and Danny yesterday, and he had some interesting things to say. So we wanted to play you a little bit of this sound because why not? Why don't we go Jeff Passan 3, AMAC, on where the ownership stands. And this, if this is the cut that I'm thinking, not that this is damning, because we haven't recognized it here, but for somebody who is a national baseball insider, for somebody who covers the game and all teams and works for ESPN, kind of interesting to hear it come from that perspective.
That is a great question. And I think it's one that Mark Lerner, frankly, owes the fans an explanation on. I think that if he wants people to continue coming out to Nationals Park and to believing in this team and what the future looks like, there needs to be a little bit more transparency in this situation, especially before you go out and hire a full-time person. Maybe that's Mike DiBartolo. Maybe it's somebody from the outside. But what I do know is that the Nationals, just in their approach to baseball operations, have differed from other franchises. They have leaned less on the analytics side of things. And I think it's fair to wonder just how much of an overhaul is Mark Lerner willing to fund? And I say fund both in the respect of, does he want to bring in, a higher profile general manager or somebody who's got experience and might cost a little bit more? Does he want to bring in somebody who has that analytics background and is intending on taking the Nationals at very least up to the baseline of where other organizations are right now, because I don't think they're there at this point, or at very least they have not applied the information in the same way that other organizations do.
All right, so that's Jeff Passan of ESPN, one of Ken Rosenthal, I suppose, is the other preeminent baseball insiders in the game. And, of course, he works for ESPN. Why don't we do Jeff Passan 7 right here? Because I thought this was interesting on whether or not if ownership is self-aware of their own shortcomings. And I would say this. I don't believe they are. I believe they look out and say, why aren't we bringing in 32,000 a night? Why aren't we attracting the audience, the crowds that other teams in our division, the Phillies, every night? Why? And they don't get it. I don't think they are self-aware.
Well, when you have the second most losses since winning a World Series, maybe your way needs to change. Like, that's the question I really have about the Nationals organization is just how self-aware are they, right? How much does ownership know about how this organization runs? But beyond that, how other organizations run, how other organizations are leveraging their assets to win baseball games, and how do the Nationals compare to that? And, you know, I think the best and most successful people in professional sports are the most curious, the ones who know that they really don't know a whole lot, and they're constantly trying to learn and understand their place in the game better. And there's been this gravitation, I think, of teams, particularly mid and small market teams, toward staying away from free agency. It's an inefficient market, and you're buying downside years. And all those arguments, they're valid. They're salient. They're true. But there aren't all that many ways to acquire players, right? You can get them in the domestic amateur draft. You can get them as teenagers in the international pool. And then beyond that, it's either trades or free agent signings. And with trades, you're giving up talent to get talent. Whereas with free agent signings, you're giving up money. And, last I checked, the Lerners were very rich. They had a lot of money and a lot of opportunity to take this team and turn it into something else. And we've seen it before, guys. We saw $245 million for Steven Strasburg. We have seen them go out. I know this is a while ago now, but $126 million for Jason Worth. Yeah, they let Anthony Rendon walk. Yeah, they let Bryce Harper walk. So it's not always re-signing their guys. But it's not like this team hasn't been willing to go out on a limb financially in the past. And, you know, I would argue that Max Scherzer's original deal with the Nationals was – one of the five best deals of this century. Like, he was incredible the whole time here, worth every single penny that they were paying him over those 7 years.
You know, and again, that's Jeff Passan from ESPN on 106.7 yesterday. Listen, here's the bottom line. There seems to be this line of demarcation of the COVID year and what they weren't able to gain from winning a world championship. And trust me, I believe that is more than fair and more than legit. But a lot of these weird and befuddling decisions to not bring back certain free agents, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon specifically, were made prior to COVID. They just don't believe in doing everything that it takes. They don't believe that. They believe in a budget. They believe in trying to make money. They're not in this for charity. And it's pretty clear that while they've been tested by some who have complained and wrote columns and done talk shows and whatnot, because they're insulated and because they're shielded, they don't have necessarily the direct responsibility that maybe a CEO or a president of a publicly traded company might have. They just don't. Right? They don't. They don't have to turn over their books. So I don't think they are aware of what it takes, fully aware of what it takes to run a baseball organization, just using baseball, year in, year out. I don't think they, I don't want to say they have no clue, but I don't think they have a very strong feel. And that is probably problem number one. That being said, again, I can't say that Davey and Mike Rizzo weren't given plenty of opportunity to show some sort of an improvement, and they just didn't, for whatever that's worth. All right, we will come back. We'll grab a call. And then after 2:30, we're going to get into something different. And by something different, I mean, whoa, hello. I didn't think we would be talking about the White House and Donald Trump today, but here we go on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You know, the one thing I was wondering, too, was, you know, listen, I could have seen maybe Davey Martinez, being let go. What I didn't know was, you know, were they trying to get Mike Rizzo to make a change there? And he said, listen, I don't think that's the answer. I think it's, payroll driven. You didn't give me enough money, whatever it might be. And they said, well, we want you to make a change. If you're not going to make a change, you're both gone. Like, I don't know that, but that has happened in the past with other organizations as well. So, we'll hear, I'm sure, some more of those details at some point.
That's Jim Duquette, longtime Major League Baseball GM, analyst, SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio on 106.7 yesterday. And don't forget, Mike Rizzo will join the Junkies at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning in his normal spot, probably the last time, I would imagine. I don't know that definitively, but definitely tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. right here on the Team 980. So, of course, we'll have lots of reaction to that on tomorrow's show. But that certainly is the first theory that I had, was they wanted to fire Davey or maybe fire a Darnell Coles or somebody like that, and Davey refused and or Mike refused, and boom. That, of course, through back channels has been dismissed as a thing, but I can't say I definitively believe that just because somebody in the organization tells you that. I just don't work that way. Double A said Tom Lavero was on the Junkies this morning and he made reference to the learners and how they went over Rizzo's head multiple times and made deals. The Strasburg deal was an example of one. Sounds like a former owner we used to have in this town. Yeah, there's no doubt they went over. I mean, they prevented the Bryce Harper trade. Again, nobody is suggesting that it was a good, healthy working environment for Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. Nobody. But you got to show some progress, and they didn't show enough progress, period. All right, let's get to all right, hang on. Can I go to Little? Okay, let's go to Little here before the bottom of the hour. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure everything was clear. What's up, Little? How are you?
Rooster. What's up, Little? Shout out to A-Mac.
What's shaking?
I want to give a shout out to Iron and Mark from Landover. They both proofread, manifested the trilogy in numerical order of this baseball team organization. They broke it down. Now, I called about a month ago, Rooster, out here throwing out there. You need go get me somebody like Dale Murphy, man. Enthusiastic ex-player that know the game. Now, he may not want to manage it, but you got to get a Charlie Hustle type demeanor in there. Rest in peace, Pete Rose. You got to go out and get somebody like that, Rooster. You know, it ain't all about it. Now, let me ask you this question. Normally, you would have a 10-year span before you start, scratching your head and say, what the hell is going on in here?
Right.
Like my man Lombardi said. But the Yankees ain't won nothing. How many years the Yankees? When the last time they won the World Series? And look at their payroll. You see where I'm going at?
Yeah.
But it's the little things that get to me. I'm a football man, but I was seeing the pitchers, our pitchers be up 0-2 on a batter or 1-2 on a batter, and they don't even throw a pitch. They throw a pitch right down the middle of the plate so he can get a hit instead of making the batter fish. You throw a pitch outside of the plate to see if he'll fish to get that third strike. Also, a couple of years ago, we was top in the division and stealing bases. All that went away. That come from management, Rooster. But it's the demeanor that you have to have as a manager. You have to either have to play the game or you know the game. Because I'm seeing a lot of situations, man. Now, one thing I hate is for a batter to be at the plate and take a strike and don't even swing at the damn ball. It's a little things like that that make you shake your head and say, come on, what the hell is going on in here, man? But other than that, like I say, shout out to Iron. Shout out to Mark. They manifested the trilogy of this organization in numerical order. Now, I'm going to say this about the learners. Real estate ain't going to rebound. Because, hey, man, it's rough out here, man.
Yeah.
It's rough. Real estate going to take them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They need to get rid of the team, man. If you can't have them, take money. You spend money to make money.
But again, I think they could have gotten rid of the team if they would have been willing to accept the price that the market dictated, from what I was told, as opposed to what they insisted on.
Let me say this, and I'm going to get off the phone because I got a little scuttlebutt coming up on the 15th. I ain't going to let it out. I'm going to call y'all back around about the 14th. FedEx, what's it, Northwest Stadium?
Mm-hmm.
PG County made $735,000 for two nights for their pocket. But there's two shows back-to-back, Beyonce. $735,000 with the PG County to do what they want to do for this two shows. You see where I'm going at?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, man. God bless y'all. Stay
there. You go. All right, appreciate it. Good to hear from you, Little. I don't know if that number is accurate. That seems, I don't know. Seems a little bit low to me, but I have no idea how many people actually attended those shows. I have no clue. I thought it would be more, but maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. All right, let's do the trending alert, and then we can come back, do a final sweep of the phones, and then I want to get into what the President of the United States had to say about the Washington Commanders' potential new stadium, and their old name. Yes, we have to address. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Now, we told you the Mystics in afternoon action improved to 9-10 on the year, 6-3 at home, by nipping the Chicago Sky 81-79. Despite Angel Reese, who played well again for Chicago, despite having a situation at the end of the game in frustration where she slapped away a clipboard from an assistant coach. Certainly, we will see some controversy coming out of that in the next couple of days. Sonia Citron with 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists for the Mystics. They played that game at Eagle Bank Arena in Fairfax because of the ongoing construction to Capital One Arena. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins said he felt misled after the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. with the number 8 overall pick. That in the first edition of Quarterback, the new Netflix series, which came out yesterday. He said he felt a little bit misled that the Falcons took Penix that high just a couple of weeks after signing Cousins to a $100 million guaranteed deal. He said, certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly wouldn't have would have affected my decision, did Cousins say. We'll get into that coming up later on in the show, and that's what's trending. 20 in front of 3. We'll do one final sweep of the Nats calls. Then I got to get into this Trump Commanders RFK Redskins thing. Just because I feel obligated. I mean, when the president of the United States is talking about the football team, you know, you got to kind of talk about it, right? Let's do this. Let's go to my guy Rich from the Nats Report. Does a great job writing about covering the Nationals. Again, at the Nats Report on Twitter. And again, just search it up in case you're not already following it. He's online, too. And Rich is with us. What up?
How are you, Rich? Hey, Chris. Hey, guys. I think you guys are doing a great job talking about the Nats. One thing that I think a lot of people are missing here is that the Learners did not have revenue from Masson for a bunch of years. And, you know, that is a huge revenue that they were missing unless, you know, unlike other teams that are in the region. And also you talk about the big league team, other big city teams. So, you know, yes, you might want to blame the Learners for not spending as much money on the team, but they also didn't have a lot of income and a big revenue stream that was being blocked by MLB and also by Masson.
There is no doubt about that. And we have discussed not that specifically today, but we've discussed they also got screwed by COVID and not being able to reap the rewards of the 2019 World Series championship. I think we all acknowledge that and understand that. And that's why I guess in my mind, one, I can never blame one individual, one party, even Dan Snyder, 100%, right? I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. And to your point, and nobody's really brought it up today or the last 2 days, is that is a significant amount of money. Now, what I would also say is this, right? And it's easy for me to say this, so I'll bounce it off of you. I mean, yes, they lost money. There is no doubt about it. But they could have sold stadium naming rights. They could have sold the jersey patch before last week's AARP announcement. They could have, I mean, and who am I to tell them how to run their business? You know, you could rob Peter to pay Paul. You could take money from your corporate real estate or from your veritable fortune or your net worth and find a way to sink it into the baseball team. And I mean, it's easy for me to say that because it's not my money, but you could have done that if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a very good point. I mean, that's obvious, the obvious thing, you know, take money from other places and shift it. But also, like, you know, a lot of the thing, you have to go back to Mike not maybe drafting the right way, not player development. I think that there was a lot of missteps by, you know, the GM. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are upset about not holding, you know, having accountability. I think that on Sunday afternoon, you know, the Learners finally said, okay, this is the ultimate accountability for the team and for the franchise. And, you know, it's not just one person's fault. It's not just one, you know, Rizzo, Davey, the Learners. I think it's a whole combination of everybody. But that's my take on the whole situation.
No, and that's more than fair. I don't know if you were annoyed by, you know, Davey was a dead man walking as soon as he uttered those words. They'll never say that, but we all know that's where it really, really, really started to get bad, right? So I'm sure that greased the skids, if not maybe sealed the door shut. Rizzo, I still can't get past letting him go 6 days before the draft, or I guess 7 days before the draft. Whoever negotiated that, and maybe it was Mike. I was having a conversation with somebody on the phone last night. Maybe it was Mike that wanted to put their feet to the fire by saying, oh, they'll never not pick up my option a week before the draft. Well, I guess they proved if that was the case, if Mike actually insisted on that, meaning Rizzo, then he called their bluff and they delivered. They pulled the cord. Now, again, we don't know that. Maybe Mike will tell the junkies that tomorrow. I would love the answer to that question. What was the actual date and who asked for that, demanded on that, insisted on that, because there was no reason to have that specific date in the contract other than to potentially line up with Davey or to put, again, the Learners' feet to the fire. But we don't know.
I mean,
that.
I think Yeah, I think Lerner, I think it's well documented that Rizzo and Davey are, you know, kind of like a package deal. Even when they signed their last contract extension, you know, reports were coming out saying that Rizzo pushed the Lerners for, you know, Davey's extension along with him. So I think that it makes complete sense. You know, one other thing, and quickly, and then I'll let you guys go, but, you know, everybody's, like, nervous about this, like, draft pick coming up on Sunday night. But, you know, the new GM, I'm sure, has been in the meeting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With the team and evaluation. So, you know, I'm totally feeling totally comfortable having the new guy pick the draft pick, you know, because it's not like he's coming in off the street and, he, you know, then now taking this next couple of days to figure out who he wants to draft.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I mean, obviously, to your point, absolutely, he's been heavily, heavily, heavily involved in the process. Now, what we don't know is did the decision change based on his background as being more analytical? Did the decision change based on, not that he wasn't prepared, not that he wasn't involved in meetings and deliberations and all of that? Of course he was. But does the decision change? And will we ever find out, hey man, Rizzo was planning on going with the LSU left-hander and DeBartolo wanted Holiday, and will we ever know that? I don't know if we ever will, but that is going to be a thing that we're going to have to try and find out. So
yeah, either way, those two guys look really amazing, and I'm really excited to see, you know, track them come up through the system, you know, whether it's the LSU pitcher right to AAA or Holiday, you know, starting down in Fredericksburg. But it's going to be a really interesting couple of days.
No doubt. No doubt. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate you. Always good work on the Nats Report. Appreciate you. Again, you can follow my guy, Rich, at the Nats Report on Twitter and X. All right. So here's the deal. We're going to take a quick time out, and then we're going to get into this Donald Trump Commander's RFK sound that was distributed through a variety of multiple outlets yesterday afternoon, right after the show. So we haven't had a chance to play it on the show yet, so we're going to play it and we're going to react to it, and we'll take your calls and your reaction. You can still chime in on the Nationals if you'd like at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app, and now available on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. All right, good to have you with us. 7 in front of the top of the hour. Still a final hour to go right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so it's time to stop delaying. We have to get to the inevitable. So yesterday we get off, right, and I see on Twitter that the president of the United States, the man you elected to be the president of the United States, is talking about RFK Stadium. So naturally that kind of draws my attention. And then there was a second comment and question and follow-up about the team name. So let's start with the RFK situation first, and we'll lay it out for you, and then we'll respond to it on the other side of 3 o'clock. Why don't we go RFK first, and then what he said about the team name?
The DC City Council has not approved a new stadium for the Commanders. If they don't approve it, will you step in?
Well, we see what happens. I've been looking at the deal, and you know, I don't blame them. They have to, it's a very important piece of property, it's a great piece of property. So we'll see, but if I can help them out, I will. You know, ultimately, we control that. The federal government ultimately controls it, so we'll see what happens. I saw the plans. I saw the stadium. The owner's very, very successful and a very good man. I know him a little bit, and it would be a great place for the NFL to be there, I can tell you that. So if they want to negotiate a little tough, that's okay with me.
I'd like to see the Commanders change the name back to Redskins.
Well, you want me to make a controversial statement? I would. I wouldn't have changed the name. But that's there. It just doesn't have the same, it doesn't have the same ring to me. But you know, winning can make everything sound good. So if they win, all of a sudden the Commander sounds good. But I wouldn't have changed the name.
All right. So That is Donald Trump yesterday outside of Air Force One on a tarmac, and they're interviewing him. And some reporter, I don't know who it is, asks him about getting involved in the stadium project. I don't think he said anything wrong in any sort of way there that I heard. You know, he basically said, we'll see what happens. The federal government ultimately is in charge. I don't know if that's the reality now that they transferred over the land. If the federal government is ultimately in charge, it sounds like, it sounded like that Trump wouldn't be afraid to exert some pressure on the D.C. council or on the commanders and Josh Harris, who he acknowledged that he has a little bit of a relationship with. It did not sound like he was, A, overly worried, B, that he was ready to jump in. But he did acknowledge that it's a very important piece of property. And that's why I still think this goes down, ultimately. Because what are you going to build on it if it doesn't go through? If it doesn't get the support it needs, what are you going to build on it and for what cost? Now, maybe somebody's got some brilliant idea that I'm not aware of. I don't know. But it sounds like Trump is monitoring the situation, has read through, I guess, the parameters of the deal. Maybe he hasn't studied it exactly. We all know that whatever you think of him, he has been in real estate for a long time, so he knows the art of a deal. I would assume that he would be able to make a phone call to Phil Mendelson or to whoever and say, listen, let's get this done. Let's wrap this up. This is too important of a piece, not only for the right now, but for the next 25 to 30 years. For tax revenue, for the district, for a representative, if you will, of the nation's capital. Think about all the exposure Washington, D.C. as a tourism destination, which all obviously it already is going to get on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Saturday Afternoon Football, Sunday at 4:25 Football, when Tony Romo is googly-mooglying over the new stadium. You know, you get the point. There is so many ancillary benefits to building the stadium beyond just the actual financial transaction and the actual net worth. All right, 258, Team 980, your calls, your reaction to that. Plus, I would imagine most of you, some of you, maybe most, are going to be very pleased. Not that you should be surprised when he said, I wouldn't have changed the name. Meaning he would have kept it Redskins, and he's not thrilled that it's Commanders. But he did point out something interesting at the end. We'll discuss that next with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.